closer to getting to God, but also it's another year for us to just keep pressing in and pushing toward God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, bless you, praise you, God, give you glory for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that your word is forever settled, Lord. And so, God, tonight, Lord, as we speak out, we thank you, Father God, for the anointing to be able to minister a word. We thank you that you're the one that takes that word and delivers it to our heart, but it's up to us to receive it. And so tonight we do receive and give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you can go ahead and be seated. I pray everyone had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, and it's gone for another year, and it's time for us to just continue in the Father's business. You notice I said continue because that's what Christmas should have been about for you, is the Father's business, right? It was the Father's business to bring Jesus to this earth so that he could fulfill his plan of redemption for mankind, right? Amen. So go with me over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. And I'm on the wrong notes. Give me my notes. Where did I do with my notes? I'm sorry. I brought them in. I carried them in. They're back yonder. Give me those. Sorry, I was about ready to preach to you his glorious birth again. Hallelujah. I like this. I get to look in my Bible like you guys do. Sorry, I came in and started turning stuff on and left them laying back there. Thank you very much. I got to have my notes. I think I could have preached it without it, but I'd rather have my notes because there's some things I wanted to say tonight. Now, let's change that. Let's go to John, okay? Can we go to John chapter 2? John chapter 2. This is not fair. I have to be the same speed you guys are about getting to the scriptures. Usually I've got my scriptures marked with my little markers, and I can just buzz right there and beat you guys there. John chapter 2, okay? Verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith to him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith to them, Fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. And he saith to them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith to him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Thou hast kept the good wine until now. How many knows when Jesus does something, he does it good. He does it right. Now, the thing that I want to bring out of this, though, is back up there where Jesus' mother says in verse 5. Look what she says there in verse 5. His mother saith to the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatever he says unto you, do it. That's why I want you to just let that stay in your mind for just a little bit. And I want you to notice something here, and you'll have to agree with me, that those servants had to be just beside themselves. Come on, just imagine this now. Mother of Jesus has told you whatever he tells you to do, so you're going to do it. And then he tells us to talk in water. We're not talking something else, just plain old water. Let's do it. Take that out of there and take it to the governor, taking that to the governor of the feast. Come on, let me take it out of the natural, and you know you just rolled out the same pot, and you're going to the governor of the feast. And the natural had to go free. Had to say, no, but the crucified me, this will kill me, this will be. And they get to it when he drinks it, he won't make comment. And he looks at him in the bridegroom and he says, most people, as I've already drunk, say what he's saying. He said, but you say this for less. So we have read about this. But he must do it. Whatever he says, do it. In other words, this is our word. They obeyed the word that Jesus gave them. And because they obeyed the word that Jesus gave them, they were able to be a blessing And Jesus made the bridegroom look real good. Come on, right in front of the governor. Made him look good. Well, you see, whatsoever he says to do, do it. Bless that whole bunch. Listen to what Psalm 119:105 says. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." The word is. It's a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Let me give it to you, the message. By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. See, God's word is our map to where we're going. Now, I say just bear repeating to make us get to think about how God's. Anybody at home? See, we smoke the road out so nothing other than a road map. Show you how bad Eastern Kentucky is. Okay? When we travel, we'll sit down and try to map out the route to what exit was there that I might be tempted to go somewhere else. Anybody? But if you would follow the map, it would get you where you're with GPS. Now, all of a sudden, you know, the globe had to buy the GPS units down and out of the GPS. But here's what I want to say about that. You can have, but what happens is, you know, GPS is nothing more than a voice that's leading you to where you want to go. Right? Come on. You know, mine's on a woman's voice. You know, and that way, you know, whenever I'm going down the road, if Pastor Ed's not telling me where to go, then she is. You know, I mean, come on, man, somebody help me. So you got side seat drivers and sometimes even back seat drivers, you know. But if you're going somewhere and you listen to that voice, it'll get you to where you need to go. But it will get you to where you need to go. And see, here's what happens to us sometimes. And yes, they are wrong sometimes. Sometimes the roads change or what. But for the most part, okay, they'll get you there if you follow that voice. We've been different times that we've been like going to Oklahoma or whatever, and all of a sudden, there's something happens, and there's a detour off our route that we know we're supposed to be on. And the only way in this world we ever could know where we were at is we just had to keep listening to the voice. Because we were in places that we didn't know anything about. Uncharted territory. I remember one time when we got exited off right down in St. Louis, Missouri. We were all driving to it and just admiring that big arch right there. And all of a sudden, we have to turn off and go into the city. And you know, we're country, but I'm talking about this church group. We're going out there to Oklahoma to have a men's meeting. But we're going, and we have to listen to the voice because we don't have a clue where we're at. We've got no choice but to follow the words of that GPS to get through where we're at to get us back on the path. We knew pretty well the regular path, but as long as we listened, it got us back out on the road and got us going. Now, I remember one time, and you're saying, where's this all going to? Well, here's the thing. If you don't listen to the voice, you can get lost real easy. And I've told this story, but it's still a good story, and I'll remember it the rest of my life. One night, we were coming back from Florida. I don't remember if we'd been on a mission down there, I think so, because it was Brother Charles there with us. And we're coming back, and I've driven, and I'm in the back seat, and I'm asleep. I'm taking naps back there, sleeping back there. But I get woken up because I keep hearing, turn around when possible. Turn around when possible. Turn around when possible. And I'm hearing conversation going on. Right there, he's right there. Turn around when possible. And I wake up, and I think it was Charles. Was you in on that, Chuck, too? Chuck, was you in on it, Willie? Yeah, okay. They're all awake, but she's telling them where to turn off. The voice is telling them where to turn off. Okay? But in their minds, they're thinking, no, that's not right. That's not. We're down, I think it's somewhere down around North Carolina down there. Asheville, maybe down there, where that tricky turn is down there. And it's night, and we're all tired, and they keep passing the turn that gets us back on to come up this way. And they'd come by, and she'd reroute them. You know, turn here, turn here, turn here. And she'd bring them right back through there, you know, and then she'd tell them to turn. No, that's not the right turn. No, that's not where we're supposed to go. Turn around when possible. See, the reason that they kept missing the turn is because they would not listen to the voice that was leading them. They didn't know where they were at. They thought they did. But once they finally listened and turned where the GPS told them to turn, we got back on track. And I'm saying that because there are times that you and I will not listen to the voice that's guiding us and leading us. Because we think we know where we're at. We think we know what's best. And sometimes, just like with those that drew the water out, this don't seem right. In my mind, this can't be right. I'm supposed to go. But if God is speaking to you, the voice, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, then you need to learn to do what He says. Do what Mary said. Whatsoever He says, do it, even if it seems like it's not the right turn. Because how many knows God, again, has your steps planned? He's got a lamp and a light for you to guide you, even though it seems like maybe this ain't the way I'm supposed to go. Even sometimes when it's familiar territory and you know where you're at, you have to understand that you have to listen to the voice. I was traveling one time heading up north and on a road, and that road goes all the way up to Lake Erie. And, you know, it's just that road. There's not another road. And we're traveling up through there, and all of a sudden the GPS says, right, turn ahead. I said, you stupid thing. Oh, right, turn ahead. We've got to go all the way up through there. Anybody ever felt like that? Come on, none of you all had your GPS take you out to the middle of nowhere? Come on, one time I took one, followed one, went down, and we drove through the back country because somebody didn't want to pay a toll. And I'm not talking about Pastor Ed. I'm talking about me and Chuck and Paul Williams. He took his GPS and programmed it. I said, you want mine? I've already got it programmed. Took us through every back road all the way over to Hatteras Island, North Carolina. I mean, we were... And finally we got to a place where she says, you've reached your destination. And we had. The only problem was it was way across the water over there. We could look over there and see it. Had us out in the middle of nowhere. But anyway, let me change this back. We're going up and he says, you know, right turn ahead. And I'm thinking, no, I don't get off this road. I don't get off this road. And so I go on past that. And then it says, in so many miles, right turn ahead. I said, what's wrong with this crazy thing? You know, and we're going on up through there and we get up to that next exit. And all of a sudden I see what it is. I'm thinking, the line that my road that's blue is all of a sudden red. And what the GPS knows that I don't know is that there's been an accident ahead. And it's trying to exit me off and get me around that so I don't get stuck in traffic for hours. See, if I hadn't finally listened to the voice, I'd have been stuck in traffic for hours. But instead, took us around, went around through whatever thing was going on, got right back on the road and kept us on track. Lost a little bit of time, but nothing like we would have if we'd have got caught up. You see? And so it pays to listen to what the voice is saying. Even with God, when we feel like we're in familiar territory, when we feel like we're on the right track, Lord, I know this way. I know this is a good thing, God. Yes, it could be a good thing. It could be even a God thing. But if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, if you'll listen to the voice, sometimes God wants you to do something else that's a God thing. Did you hear what I said? And you can miss God even though you're doing a God thing because He's got this God thing that He wants you to do. And that messes with us. See, we have trouble, but that's why we need to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit and do what He tells us to do. Okay? Now, in 1 Kings, very familiar story, if you remember, the prophet is there hiding in a cave. You remember that? Let's go, if you want to go with me, we'll go to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, we'll get over there and let's just read this because I want you to see this. 1 Kings 19. Well, we don't want to be on a page where there's mouths, do we? 1 Kings chapter 19, look at verse 9. It says, it came thither to a cave and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? How many knows Elijah was a great prophet? But right now he's frustrated. He's running from Jezebel. He's actually hiding from Jezebel after he's just, you know, defeated 450 prophets of Baal. God's shown himself mighty. See, here's the thing. Even though God can be working mighty in your life, if you're not careful, you can let something get you off track. He let that word of Jezebel override the word of God that was going on in him. Remember, she said, I'm going to kill you just like you killed the prophets. And he got afraid. And he's running. He's come to a cave. And God comes to him and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in that wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? You see, sometimes when we're following the voice, it might not be as loud as you would like it to be. Sometimes God is not speaking like an earthquake or like a wind or like a fire. God is speaking in a still, small voice. And that means that you and I have to get ourselves to the place where we can shut down all the noise. Everything that's going on the outside, everything that's going on in our mind, and listen to the still, small voice to get the instructions of what God wants us to do. Through all this Christmas season, a lot of voices been going on. A lot of stuff, interferences being run, things going, everybody got, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that. And if you don't get quiet and shut that down, it's hard to hear that still small voice. I can look around tonight and tell that a lot of folks didn't listen to the still small voice tonight. Amen. And you know, a lot don't have a work excuse. A lot don't have this excuse or that excuse. It just flat, I'm not going. Amen. I'm not going to church tonight. I'm tired. Why am I tired? Because I've wore myself out with the natural instead of charging myself up with the spiritual. I've celebrated the birth of Jesus to the place that I can't go worship Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, and that's sad, and it's a sad account on the behalf of the body of Christ. But it happens, you see. We get all excited about the natural and the thing that happened. But see, we're still living this thing. Every day ought to be the birth of Jesus Christ in our life. Every day ought to be a renewing of the Holy Ghost and a renewing of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to where we're celebrating every day Him in our life. But you see, a lot of times we're not listening to the voice that can guide us and direct us and tell us what to do. Now, here's the thing that I want to show you, and I don't, it'll make people mad, but it's okay. If God spoke to you and I, and we came tonight, would He not be a respecter of persons if He didn't speak to everybody that's not here tonight? Or every other church where people are not tonight? You see, He's still speaking, but it's up to us whether we hear or not. Whether we're listening for Him. Whether we even want to hear or not. See, how many of you remember the little cartoon where the little guy's got his hands over his ears and says, I'm not listening. It's bad that a lot of the body of Christ does that. Especially when it comes to times when we're supposed to gather ourselves together as we should. To worship the Lord and hear His voice. Because I'm going to tell you something. Not only does God speak through that still small voice, but God speaks corporately too. A message can come in tongues with an interpretation. A prophecy can be given. And we need to make sure that we're listening so that we can hear that. Here the Lord appeared in all that chaos. He spoke through that still small voice. Now the Bible says in 1 John 2:20, He says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." What's he talking about? There's an anointing. There's to listen to the Holy Ghost so that we can know all things. How many knows the Holy Ghost is a genius? He knows all things. And if He knows them, guess what? He's not hiding them from us. He's speaking to us. He's telling us if we listen. Things take us by surprise a lot, and we do get taken by surprise. And I said we a lot. But most of the time it's because we've not been listening or we've ignored what we heard. Amen. Anybody besides me ever ignored what you heard and then later on paid the price for it? I have. I know what that's like. Man, that makes you feel about that tall, doesn't it? Now, go with me over to Matthew chapter 7. Let me show you something over here. Matthew chapter 7. I'll not worry you. I'll just try to take some time and get the word in you here. We all need the word in us every day, don't we? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is some strong stuff right here. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Wow. Think about that one for just a minute. Not everybody that calls him Lord is going to enter into heaven, but those that do the will of my Father. What is the will of the Father? If you don't know what the will of the Father is by now, I've quit. God's word is God's will. So see, you and I must do the word. Remember, this is God speaking to us. This is the voice, unless God speaks by the Holy Spirit or speaks audible or sends an angel. But if you want the voice of God, right here it is. You want the word of God, right here it is. This is the written word of God. So he says, if you're not doing the will of Father, then you're not going to the heaven. Is that what he says? Not everyone's going to. Not everybody that calls him Lord. Verse 22 says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Strong, strong language. Apparently, at some point along the line, they were following the voice. Right? Because, you know, you're not going to do wonderful things. You're not going to be able to cast out devils without having the power of God to do that. Because you can't do that in your own. But somewhere along the line, they quit listening to the voice. And started listening to other voices. They got off the route. I was talking today to somebody and he was talking about his GPS. This coincidence, maybe not, because I already had and I knew what I was preaching on. And they brought it up. We was talking about the fact that once it set its destination, it stayed on that destination. You know, it wasn't like a phone, you know, phone switch, and a lot of the GPS units, they don't. They, once you turn off the path, it'll just keep telling you you're off the path until you get back on the path. Some of them don't even redirect. They just tell you you're off and get you back on and you go. And he was talking about, he said, I like that. He said, because it never loses signal. It's always got, and because it gets you from satellites. And I said, yeah, that's right. That's good. I said, but it also can't notify you of anything up the road. You know, but what I'm saying is this, once we get off the path, God's not going to quit talking to you just because you're off the path. God's going to continue to let you know. The conviction power of the Holy Ghost is still going to let you know that you're off the path. So they had to, at one time or another, been on the right path, got off the path, and quit listening to the voice. They quit listening to God in order to get off until, now get this, until that day came. '911 was one of those days that came. And once that day came, people got really afraid. And they ran to the churches. I mean, they didn't care what kind of church it was. They just wanted to get in a church somewhere. They wanted, why? Because something happened. Can I tell you something? When Jesus comes and that day happens, it'll be too late then. You're not going to run then. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. We got to continue to listen to His voice. You can't just listen to the voice of God when you want to. Come on now. If you just get in there and set your GPS and take off and just listen to it when you want to, how many knows you're going to end up lost? You're going to end up off the path, in the wrong place. And Jesus is saying to them, you know, not everybody that's called me Lord, Lord, not everybody that's been with me is going to get to go to heaven. Because there's some that have been with me, but they're no longer with me. And I'm going to have to tell them, depart from me. I never knew you. That's some strong words. So it's important that you and I make sure that we're listening to the voice and following Him and doing what He says. He that doeth the will of my Father. Let me show you something else here. Go again to Matthew chapter 7. We're already in Matthew there. Let's see. Let's see if I want to go to that or not. Yeah, go. Let's go to Psalm 119. I'd rather go with her. Psalm 119. If we can. Psalm 119. I'll get there, I promise. Psalm 119:9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgment of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of testimonies as much as all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Notice here, the psalmist says this, I want to know how I can keep myself clean. I want to know how I can keep myself on track. And he says, by staying in the word. That's how I'll do it. Matter of fact, he says, I'm going to hide your word in my heart so that I don't sin against you. Can I tell you, if his word's in your heart, you're not going to want to do anything but his word. Amen. Jesus talks about two different guys. He says, whosoever, I'll just say what King James says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, he does them. I'm going to show you who he's like. He's like a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the storms came, the rains came, the winds blew, the floods came. And he said, that house stood because it was founded on the rock. How many knows the rock is the Word of God? When you're founded on the Word of God, no matter what comes at you, wow. God is right there with you. But he says, whosoever hears these sayings of mine doeth them not, he's like the foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And he said, the floods came, the winds blew, the waters. And it said that house was utterly destroyed because it wasn't founded upon a rock. If we're not listening to the voice of God, if we don't say, stay solid on the Word of God, then we can easily get washed away. We've got to keep that foundation. We've got to keep that Word in our heart. We've got to keep listening to the voice. Now, I want to just end this thing, and maybe some of you heard it, maybe some of you haven't heard it, but when I heard it, I thought, wow, it kind of inspired me talking about this, how that a pastor was in another country, and they'd been doing some ministry work there, and they were getting ready to fly out commercially, and there was a pastor friend that says, come on, yeah, you don't have to spend the money on commercial. He said, I've got a plane. And he said, well, we've already bought the tickets. And maybe you can save the money on your tickets and just go ahead. I'll fly you. It won't cost you a dime. You can just fly with me. So he had a partner with him, and they talked about it, and they said, well, okay. So we'll fly with you. They got out there, and they took off, and they were flying really good, and they got up there, and they got into a place where it got cloudy. Couldn't tell where they're going. If they're flying by instruments in the cloud. But the pastor flying the plane looks over and says, we're not good. And he said, what do you mean we're not good? He said, clouds caused me to pass out. He said, what? He said, I'm not supposed to fly in clouds. He said, because just the clouds going by. If you've never been in a plane in the clouds, you'd understand. It's just crazy. And he said, it causes me to pass out. And about the time he said that, he passed out. And he said, now here we are. We're in a plane. Our pilot's passed out. We can't get him woke up. And he said, the guy in the back said, we're going to die, aren't we? He said, there's a good chance we're going to die. And he said, he told him, he said, get on the radio, start trying. And he said, they're hollering, you know, hello, hello. And finally somebody comes on and says, hello, this is not proper airplane etiquette. And he said, we can't help it. We don't know what to do. Our pilot's passed out. We're in a plane by ourselves, and neither one of us knows how to fly. And the guy says, well, I'm in a freighter. And he said, I'm just picking you up over the radio. He said, I'm going to start circling where I'm at right now so I can stay within radio range of you. If not, I'll fly away from you. And he said, I'll start getting a hold of the towers. And finally, after a while, one of the towers comes back. And when they come back, they said, hello. And they said, hello. They said, we don't have a pilot. There's nobody on the plane that can fly. No, there's nobody on the plane that can fly. And he says, okay, hold on just a second. I'll get somebody back to you. And he said, the guy comes back to him. And he says, all right, I'm so-and-so, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to do everything I tell you to do. And the guy says, okay. He said, no. He said, listen to me. I don't care what's in your mind. I don't care how afraid you are. Don't matter what. If you will listen to me, I'll get you on the ground safely. And then he tells him, he says, up ahead, I'm bringing you back in. But up ahead, you're going to run into storms. And it's going to be bumpy, and it's going to be scary. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen to what I say, and don't pay any attention to what's going on outside the plane. You just do what I say. And he said as they flew, that was going on, and they were starting to get scared. And the guy says, listen to me. Listen to my voice. Do what I tell you to do. And he said they kept listening, and they went through the storms, and they came, and all of a sudden the voice says, all right, here's what you need to do. And he told him what to do. And he said they're in the clouds and they can't see anything that's going on. And all of a sudden they break through the clouds. And the guy says, now I'm going to bring you in for a landing. And he said, if you'll do what I say, you'll live and not die. I'll bring you in. And he said, I listened to what he said. And he said, we landed that plane 7 times. Apparently not a very smooth landing, but he got it down. And he said, because we listened to what he said, it saved our lives. Listen, if you'll listen to what God says, it don't matter about the storms going on outside. Don't matter what's going on around us. if we'll do what He says do, God will take care of us and we'll be all right because we have the greater one living on the inside of us. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. It's so wonderful to know that we have a voice that's speaking to us.